Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Welcome back here on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHP. Let's talk a little basketball with soccer, as obviously the biggest news today is that the U.S. is out of the World Cup. That development, shocking development happening last night, but is the model, at least the global model, of where soccer is going, where basketball is going. A lot of talk about the college basketball with all the scandals that have been going on and that the AAU system is just a flawed system and we need to get to one that works better. A guy who wrote a great piece on it, Jonathan Charks, is with us from The Ringer, talking about development is soccer's youth academy model. That's the future of the NBA player development. He is with us on our Sprint guest line. Jonathan, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Not bad. And I love the piece when I wrote it. I'm glad we were able to connect with you. I know you've had some traveling things, and we've had a hard time getting connected with you. But it's a great piece, a very in-depth piece, and certainly inspired with all the things going on in college basketball. And we've talked about this a lot. We've talked about the soccer model, and we've seen it here in Kansas City with Sporting Kansas City. Several years ago, the first time they signed a kid who still had high school eligibility, there was this, but he won't be able to play high school soccer. What are we going to do? Compared to what we see is like we acknowledge and we just accept is the AAU model, like somehow that's the right way to go. You've laid it out in a great piece about how it works, why the European model works, and why the soccer model, which is going on, which is what they're using in the MLS now, works. How close do you think we are to actually getting something like this happening in basketball?
Probably not that close. It's pretty divisive. I know, so I talked to Mark Cuban, and he wants to do it. And he's like 100% behind it, but it's still just a different way of looking at it. And most importantly, it costs a lot of money. So until the money part gets figured out, it's probably not going to. It's hard for people anywhere until that gets figured out.
Is the hurdle? And you mentioned it costs a lot of money, but the shoe companies are willing to put money into it. I mean, isn't it what you do is you open it up to a shoe sponsorship, and let Nike and Adidas bid against themselves to outfit the whole league and in their gear? Isn't that one of the mechanisms that could pay for it all?
That is interesting, though. I wonder how their whole model is going to be affected by this whole college basketball scandal. I didn't really thought about that. I don't know, because it's hard to see necessarily like these under 17 teams. Is there going to be a fan base to watch them? Is the question, right? So like the reason Nike and Adidas pay so much money, because there's these huge fan bases that watch college basketball and support the team and have positive associations. So if you have like under 16 teams playing each other, the money for that might not be there.
Is the future maybe kind of a combination of what we've got? I mean, one of the things I've talked about that I feel is a necessary part of the future is, look, we've got these professional sports teams that are playing in taxpayer-paid-for stadiums, which I, you know, I'm okay with it. I get it. Here in Kansas City, that's the cost of doing business. You know, they're already starting to talk about the next Kauffman Stadium and where it's going to be, and we're going to have to flip the bill for it. I mean, it's not like Dallas with Jerry Jones, where it's cost-effective for him to pay for his own building. It's part of what we're going to have to do to be big league around here. So I get that. But everywhere, even Jerry Jones Stadium had a couple million dollars worth of infrastructure.
They had plenty of public financing.
Yeah,
Don't worry about that.
Yeah, plenty of public money. And so if all of our sports are going to play in that, you know, I'm not saying, you know, the government does everything right and we want the government stepping into everything, but wouldn't it be pretty simple to make it, you got to at least have one minor league team per every team that's in professional sports. For baseball, it's not a problem. Soccer, it's not a problem. Basketball is getting there. The NBA seems to see where they're going. The expansion of the G League now to, I think it's 26 teams, and I think there's maybe even 20. Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be 30 before long. They seem to understand the need for a real minor league system. I mean, we talked to Marcus Denman, who played at Mizzou, and he was in camp and talking with the Knicks, and ultimately he got a 2-year guaranteed deal to go play overseas. I pointed out that When you have an injury and you have to go get a guy and you go to the G League, you're not getting the best guy available. The best guy available is signed to a guaranteed contract playing in Greece or Spain or Turkey or Russia or wherever it is. And that the NBA seems to have woken up to the fact that their product is hurting down at the bottom of the roster and may eventually hurt in the middle of the roster and then may have real competition for the top of the roster. So they're a little bit afraid and they're looking to find a way, I think, to try to keep some of this talent in-house. How about we mandate that you've got to have at least one, if not two, minor league teams so that kids don't have to go to college if their best skill, their best trait is to play professional sports. There is a place for the best of the best to go and play. Wouldn't that kind of bridge the gap between what the NBA and the NFL have without completely going the academy route that soccer uses?
Well, I mean, I think for the NBA, at least, it is available. Like, so the guy, Brian Bowen, who's probably not going to be eligible at Louisville this fall, he was one of the guys caught up in this bribery scandal. He could play in the G League next year.
Right.
This year, I mean, before the draft. And the problem is, like, there's just not a lot of money in it. And it always comes back to that. It comes back to money. And if you look at, like, with soccer, the reason soccer has been, like, U.S. soccer teams are pushing it so hard is because they have to compete internationally with, like, the national teams, right? So the national teams in Europe who have so many good players, the only way for U.S. soccer to catch up is for U.S. soccer to copy those methods. Whereas U.S. basketball doesn't have the same kind of problem. And I think that's really the issue. It's just the league could be better and teams could do this. But it's like, why spend the money if I don't have to? That's really, it ultimately comes back to that. And yes, the government could do that, but, like, you got the interests of billionaires on one hand and, like, the negligence of the game on the other. It's much harder to push those kind of things through. I think the NBA is moving that way, but it's going to be a very, very slow process.
So when you say it costs money, you're talking about getting the team up and running. I mean, listen, there are minor league baseball teams all over this country. They're profitable teams. They're so profitable that there are independent league teams that have popped up and make it work as a business. Are you telling me you don't think you can make a minor league basketball team profitable?
I mean, it's definitely. You got to keep in mind also, though, like, so for those major league, they're still funding the team, right? Like, they're giving, like, $1 million signing bonuses to, you know, 18-year-olds to play pro baseball. I mean, I think it could be profitable for sure. I'm just not sure how the NBA, it's like, with any owner, it's like the money's up front, right? And the benefits are down the road. So it's like trying to convince them to invest the money long term. That's what it comes down. Yeah, 10 years is not going to be profitable, but right now, people about that money can be very short-sighted.
So why is Mark Cuban on board with it? You mentioned him a number of times in the piece, and we're talking right now to Jonathan Charks, who wrote a great piece for The Ringer about how college basketball is the problems of college basketball and how the soccer model may be the future of the NBA and how they develop things. Mark Cuban's obviously a smart guy. He's a guy that's always seemingly been on the fronting edge of technology. I know they were big on the metrics of basketball when they won their championship a few years ago. He's on board. He's not a guy that just wants to throw money out into the wind. Why does he think it's profitable? Why would he be wrong and seemingly all the other owners be correct and not wanting to fund either a developmental league or a minor league?
I don't even think that he's wrong. I mean, I think he's just more long-term-minded. Like, he was one of the first owners to really invest heavily in, like, even the locker room and the plane is when he first came into the league. And he said, I'm going to invest money up front so over the long term I'll make that money back. And he's just one of the more foresighted owners. That's just the thing, is like how many owners really have the foresight or the initiative to do it. And we'll see if he can convince some of his colleagues to change their mind, I guess. I'm not saying he's wrong at all.
What's just
the reality of the situation.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. I think he's absolutely right. And what is the so why are they all grabbing a minor league team now? I mean, for a while they you know the D League was a joke, and they had like 10 teams for the whole league, and the talent level wasn't very good. And now they've recognized they got real guys that come through there. To me, I think one of the reasons why they're lining this up is they know with the next collective bargaining agreement they're going to either take the one and done up to 2 years or 3 years to go to college, but they're going to have to open it up for the high school kids to come out. And they know that's coming, and so they're getting lined up so that they can start taking the cream of the crop, the top high school kids, and they need a place for them to play. And that to me is why the G League is expanding. Do you agree with that?
I'd like to think that is why. My guess is it's just the G League is expanding because they're moving the roster sizes up because it's easier to warehouse. I don't even because the thing is, like, right now these players can go to the G League if they wanted to, the top 18-year-olds.
Right.
That's already possible. It's just – and the one-and-done rule, like, everyone seems to think it's going to go away, but I'm not so sure it is because the one-and-done rule is really about – the NBA doesn't care about college basketball at all. The one-done rule is to make it easier to scout prospects because it's harder to evaluate guys who are 18 playing for their high schoolers. So, like, my article is kind of about the idea of, like, moving the model from, like, letting these guys play to school till 19, bringing them to pros, is bringing them to pros, like, 14, 15. And that would cost a lot of money. That's what teams don't want to do. And so the one-and-done rule is really designed so, okay, this guy's 17, he's killed, like, Zion Williamson. I don't know if your audience has heard of him, but he's, like, the top prospect in high school. He's killing 17-year-olds, but does that make him be a great NBA player necessarily? Let's watch him in college for years for 18-year-olds. Let him develop. Watch him off the court, on the court, and see where he is at 19. So for the owners, it's like, well, this is a good way to scout players. For the players in the league now, if you keep the age limit higher, it cuts out young guys competing for jobs. So I'm just not sure the one that will go anywhere. Long story short.
Yeah, I think I get where you're coming from, and to me, the reason I go down the road of the minor leagues is if you think there's a resistance to the academy approach, and they're not going to be willing to sign guys. And look, and I think some of them is these are old farts, right? I mean, usually rich people. They're usually old white guys, right? That's who owns most of the teams in professional sports in America, whether people want to like it or not. They like their college basketball. They probably got an alma mater that they root for. I think there's some interest in, look, this is how it's always been. And we know change is always hard. This is how it's always been, so this is how it's always going to be, and that's our model. But if they're not going to embrace the European model, they're going to have to go down the minor league model. I do think they've got a problem with a lot of talent being overseas that they can't get their hands on. And, you know, like I said, Marcus Dedmon's on a 2-year deal. If he were the best guy for your team right now, you can't get him for 2 years. Right? And I know everybody, like, nationally be like, so what? Who's Marcus Dedmon? I mean, I barely remember him, or I don't remember him playing at Missouri. But that's true that they're missing a layer of talent. The $1.8 million player is not available to them. They're playing internationally. Now, their contract comes up. They get to be 29. They say, hey, I want to take one last shot. Okay, they make their way over. There's kind of like they're missing the middle class. There's a growing missing middle class of player that's available for the NBA. So to me, that's what they're trying to do is get those guys. And they're recognizing that it does matter to coach them. That guess what? The Warriors are really good because they play a system. They share the ball. You know, they have that mindset. They're all basketball junkies, and they need to get them playing basketball the right way to be able to fit them into the team. I mean, is that any of what the NBA is thinking right now?
I think NBA teams are a little – they probably look at it like if we really want – I think they kind of look at it like there's 50 players who really matter, maybe even 100. And then after that, the difference in player 150 and player 450, the difference isn't big enough to make it worth our time to pay him extra, essentially.
Okay.
Like, we'll just get 21-year-old do a job anyways. And if that's not good enough, then that's not good enough. That's kind of like their mentality. I'm not saying it's right. I think that's how they're looking at it right now.
So how much is as we look at, and we're talking right now to Jonathan Charks from the Ringer, how much is college basketball in the way or a part of the equation to resetting how we go about developing our young basketball players?
That's a good question. I think right now the league likes how it is now. Like the league, I think, is worried more about AAU than college. I think that is like the lead. Like even guys like Cuban, because if you look at like the academy model, a lot of those kids go on to play college and stuff before they go back to like the MLS or whatever. So I think for the lead, the issue is more at the very the grassroots level. Like, are these 14-year-olds getting coached the right way? Whereas college, they kind of look at like as a finishing school. And it's like, hey, let's watch, let them develop socially, too. I don't know. I mean, my suspicion is that, like, it's going to be a very long, slow process, and then not much will change for a long time. But I'm kind of a pessimist, I guess.
Okay. You talk time and again in there about how getting the proper coaching, that's what you get in the academies. You know, they are working on making them better players. The AAU, a lot of times, there are some good AAU coaches. That's one of the things that's lost in the shuffle. But it's just about get on the floor, go play, get them into the shoes, and it's not really about getting the best coaching. You know, that's kind of a contradiction of what you talk about. Like, they're not really concerned with the game. But then you talk about that the AAU process isn't getting them coached right. I mean, they could handle and make the game better, right, if they took control of it, but nobody acknowledges that or has that listed as that important.
Yeah, I mean, they could. That's the thing, is they could do all these things, but it just costs money.
And so in the end, so you think it's slow. What's your timeline on how long it will take?
I think the more likely is kind of like from the USA Basketball model. So you're seeing now there's more money in USA Basketball and, like, kind of going from that end, like, to grab, like, the top 50 players. But now they go to, like, camps every summer and kind of expand out from there. I think 5 or 10 years down the line, that might be a bigger deal. It might become a bigger, wider net of things going on there. But I would say 5, 10. In terms of academies and bigger picture stuff, 15, 20, 25 years probably.
If you're a NBA fan, if you're a college basketball fan, if you're a soccer fan, all of these things, I think really even it's a dilemma that the NFL will face at 1.2. It's a great read. It's at The Ringer. Jonathan Charks wrote it. The piece is called The Future of NBA Player Development is Soccer's Youth Academy Model. It's a great read. You'll enjoy it. It's very in-depth. I got to give you my final four, Jonathan, before I let you go. Four quickies. Callers 8 and 10 right now, by the way. Win a lotto prize pack from us here at 8:10. You can enter your non-winning Holiday Sparkle, Holiday Shine, Holiday Treasure tickets in the Kansas Lottery Play On Loyalty Program for your chance to win up to $15,000 in their second chance drawing. Go to kslottery.com for details. Four quickies. Tell me the first thing that pops in your mind. Who's the number one pick in the 2018 draft?
Luka Doncic, guy from Slovenia.
Yeah, I saw that in your mock draft. You're over Michael Porter, he's definitely the guy in your mind?
For now, I mean, a lot can change, obviously.
Yeah, okay, but I like that. All right, who finishes higher this year, the Rockets or Thunder?
Regular season Rockets, playoffs Thunder.
Interesting. I like that one. That's very interesting. What did Mark Cuban is Mark Cuban's dye job? Is he aware of how bad his dye job is? Yes or no?
No comment. That's funny. I need to get quotes from him, man. I can't say anything about that. Keep you watching. Keep you listening. Good thing.
All right. The subject that LeVar Ball will be best at teaching to his son now that he's homeschooling him.
Media relations, obviously. Brand management.
I love it. I love it. Hey, great stuff, Jonathan. I really appreciate it. Thanks so much for giving us some time, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you on down the road.
Yeah, have a good one.